This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Stinking Truth.
Some other stuff to get to. Robert Saleh talking at the coach's breakfast at the owner's meeting, saying for the Jets, enough hype. The hype is done. It's time to start winning football games. That the hype was great last year, created by Aaron Rodgers. But now it's time to start winning football games.
Okay.
I think that makes sense.
Now's the time?
Now's the time. Now's,
so the last 20 years, not so much, but now's the time.
Well, you don't – how long is Aaron Rodgers going to play, right? You get
Aaron
back? Well, I
mean, if you don't win now, Robert Saleh will lose his job. And, you know, I'm a big Robert Saleh guy. I love Robert. But, yeah, you gotta win. That's what it comes down to. And last year, let's face it, last year there was a lot of hype and there was a legitimate reason for that hype. Aaron Rodgers was a lot of the reason, but that defense was great. And they were great last year, even with no offense to speak of. They were, that defense was legit. And so, yeah, I mean, that defense should still be really good. They've got great players. And if Rodgers can be what Rodgers always seems to be, then yeah, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of hype.
I remember doing this podcast before the season last year, and you were...
I can no longer confirm or deny that I was excited about the Jets last year.
You were very high on the Jets. In fact, you felt like the Jets were the team to beat in the East.
I did.
With Rodgers, though.
Yeah,
with Rodgers. You weren't alone. Mm-mm. And so based on what you saw last year with that team without Rodgers, you bring back a healthy Rodgers... Are they the team to beat in the AFC East? Buffalo seems to have maybe slipped a bit.
Buffalo lost a lot of players.
Dolphins can't play if it's below 32 degrees.
Yeah, below 45 degrees. Yeah.
So what does that leave? The Patriots have become shockingly irrelevant.
Oh, yeah. The Patriots are bad. I think if Aaron Rodgers, you know, is what he is, he's healthy and he's what he is, then I think that the Jets, I think they win that division. Mm-hmm. With that defense, I think they win that division. Now, a lot of people sit there and talk about the offensive line, and you know my feeling about offensive line. Like, it's incredibly important, but a lot of it has to do with the way you call plays and the way your quarterback plays, how quickly he gets rid of the ball, how much quick game you have in. You know, you can... how much run you have, and you can really take an average group and make them a way above average, even to good or better than good, with the way you call plays and the way your quarterback operates. And so that's gonna be incumbent upon Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett to get that done. But it's amazing how much pressure you can take off a group by the way you call plays. And like, Aaron is very... very aware of that. And, you know, we'll see what other additions they make to that offensive line. But I do. I'm high on the Jets. I'm high. If Aaron is the Aaron before he got hurt, if he is that guy and he looked like that way, the way he was rehabbing that Achilles, then, yeah, there's no reason they shouldn't be really good.
So it's funny because when I heard Saleh make those comments about, hey, enough of the hype, it's time to deliver results,
right?
It reminded me, where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah. Deion Sanders came out and said, hey, my first year at CU was fun. We created a lot of hype, a lot of buzz, but now it's about winning games in year two. Right. Deion Sanders went on a podcast, and he said that when it comes to his son Shador, the quarterback of the Buffs, and Travis Hunter, the dynamic two-way player, he said, I don't see either one of them slipping beyond number four overall in the draft.
Yeah.
But then he said, but hold on. He said, I'm going to decide where they go play, because there are going to be some cities they're not going to be on the list. And he said, put it this way, it'll be like Eli Manning The last guy to say, I'm not going to play for a certain team, the Chargers,
right.
ended up with the Giants. Phillip Rivers ends up with the Chargers. The rest is history. You got to go back to like 1983 when John Elway said, I'm not playing for the Baltimore Colts. He ends up getting shipped to Denver. The rest is history. So we've only had really two examples of this in the last 40 years. Mark, are we getting ready with powerful, more and more powerful college players influencing, having power to exert? Are we going to see that now translate to the NFL where guys are like, sorry, I'm not going to play for you. I don't care if you got the first pick. Well, I'm not playing for you.
We've already seen, like, Caleb Williams said, hey, man, you're not going to get my medicals. Like, you know, you're not going to get to poke and prod me and check me out. Like, it's not going to happen. And so you've already seen a shift in some of the attitudes. I've said it forever with the way the NFL releases the Wunderlich scores. You know, somebody leaks all those scores. Like, that's confidential information. And I said, if I was the head of the Players Association, I'd say, we're not taking that test anymore. Not one guy's going to take it. What are you going to do? Okay, well, we're not drafting you? No, they're still going to have a draft. So, yeah, I think guys are more empowered than they've ever been. And I know this about the NFL. It's very seldom that any player ever has leverage. And let me just tell you how the league works. When the league has leverage, which is about 99.9% of the time, they swing the hammer. They use it against you. They fire you. They cut you. They trade you. They do whatever, right? When you have it, and it's not very often that you have it as a player, you better swing that damn hammer. And if you have the ability to swing it, then why not? Now, one thing Deion knows better than anybody is he knows who's in it to win it, who's got the right ownership to win it, and who's not. Having been around the league forever and understanding the league very well, and I tell you this all the time, there are 12 teams in the NFL that actually want to win a championship. Everybody wants to win a championship. There are 12 teams who are actually structured properly and have the wherewithal to actually chase a championship, that are sold out to chasing a championship. Then there are 20 teams that just want to continue to gain, you know, 12% a year in value. And if a championship happens to fall in their laps, then great, we'll take it. But they're not truly, truly doing whatever it takes to win a championship. And so, I believe that to be true.
All right, so you're exposing kind of the little dirty secret that only like 12 out of 32 teams are really, really committed to winning. But that doesn't change the fact that this is a league that has been built on the idea of driving everything towards the middle. Everything is parity-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Free agency, the draft, scheduling, it's all designed
right.
to allow a team that's down to come up
right.
with the understanding that a team that's up top, hey, we might have to push them back towards the middle. That's what this whole league has been built on. And as you just laid out, nobody can argue with the results. If you start empowering players to say, oh, I only want to play here. I only want to play in this market. I only want to play in this city.
Right.
I don't want to play in the cold. You run the risk of upsetting the golden goose.
I think there's probably
And I know it's down the road, but it's going to take a while. But, hey, once that ball starts rolling.
I think there's probably one or two players right now, a generation that have one, that have the value to be able to do that. And it's not only have the value to do that, but a lot of players don't have the value. If they do have the value, there are a lot of players that wouldn't do it because they wouldn't think it's the right thing to do. Right? So they don't have the arrogance, if you will, or the selfishness, if you will, to buck the system. Most guys don't feel comfortable doing that. Now, that may change with all the NIL money and everything mm-hmm. else and all those things. Because, you know, I mean, it could come down, like a guy like Caleb Williams, you could force yourself out of Chicago and say, I don't want to do that. I want to go to Chicago. But now, if you're used to an NIL deal, like an NIL world, because they said he made $10 million the last 2 years or something like that in NIL money? Well, I know one thing. I went to Chicago as a free agent, flunked the physical, but I went there as a free agent. They showed me their offseason marketing and how much money you can make, even as an offensive lineman, how much money, how many different appearances, because that's a huge market in Chicago with a lot of big business and a lot of corporate events. Like, so if you're really all, like, are you about the game or are you about, you know, the quote-unquote bag? Because if you're about the bag, then Chicago or one of these markets, whether they're good or not, is a great market to go to. Because you can make some serious money outside of what you know, of what you do. Like, I played in Washington. We had a free agent kid come over that had played for the Giants. And the guy for the Giants said, man, I made more money. I was a backup player, but I made more money in the offseason showing up to bars on Monday night for whatever, you know, for Monday Night Football, for instance. And he'd be guest bartending. You know, I made more money in appearances than I made in base salary playing for the Giants. Now, this is back in the late 80s, early 90s. But that's like, you can go to a market like that and you can get, you know, you can become big. Now, my question would be, you want to be a celebrity or you want to be a football player? Do you want to build a brand or you want to build your career? Because you need to build your career and the brand stuff will come along with it eventually. But, you know, then it takes some maturity to understand that, hey, man, if I'm building a brand, the odds are I'm sloughing on the career and I ain't going to be around very long.
Well, it's just it bears watching because this is Deion Sanders we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And if we've already seen Deion make such a huge impact on college football to the point where he really kind of is the face now of the new modern day college football, NIL, transfer portal, going out, building your brand, making money, all that kind of stuff. And if he's the guy, along with his son, who's at the forefront of doing this now when it comes to deciding where you go in the NFL, I'm just saying that's a powerful force that could really up a lot of upheaval right now.
Think about Deion's journey. He gets drafted by the Falcons, right? And eventually he shares time between Dallas and San Francisco, winning championships in both cities, right? And he understands back in those days, that was before Arthur Blank, but back in those days, the ownership of the Falcons and where they were compared to Eddie
DeBartolo. Yep.
And you know, and Jerry Jones at the time when it was still Jimmy Johnson. Like, there's a difference. So he understands championship organizational structure and he understands how this league works. So I don't know. Makes sense to me.